Isn't it enough to accept Jesus as my Savior? Why do I have to be baptized? Doug Batchelor responds to this frequently asked question. Your narrator is Bert Williams. Not long ago, I received a special offer in the mail. I usually toss these things in the trash, but this one included an offer for a subscription to a magazine that I sometimes enjoy reading. Better yet, a free book offer came with the subscription. And what really hooked me was the book's title, How to Clean Almost Anything. I'm a bit of a clean nut, so I knew I had to own that book. I sent away for the magazine subscription and got the book as well. Months later, needing a tip on how to clean something, I went looking for the book, but I couldn't find it. I said to my wife, "Have you seen that book, How to Clean Almost Anything?" "No," she replied, "you probably threw it out last time you cleaned up." Whether you're a neat freak like me, who is constantly getting rid of clutter, or a clutter bug who wishes your home looked more like a spread in a decorating magazine, I'm sure you recognize the value of cleanliness. We would all like to have clean bodies, clean homes, and a clean environment. But there's something far more important than external cleanliness, something that isn't covered in the pages of How to Clean Almost Anything. It's a clean spirit, a transformed inner person. And the Bible tells us how to achieve that kind of cleanliness. In Acts 22:16, we read that God spoke to the Apostle Paul through Ananias, saying, "Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on God's name." As we read this verse, we might ask, what is it that washes away our sins? Is it the baptism, or is it calling on God's name? The Bible makes it clear that sins are washed away by calling on God's name. In Psalm 51, the psalmist confessed his sin to God, saying, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's verse 17. And he pleads, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Verse 7. Baptism is a symbol that we have called on the name of the Lord to cleanse our sins. External symbols are important, but not if we allow them to become an end in themselves. The Pharisees of Jesus' day had that problem. They were meticulous about ritual purity, carefully performing their ritual washings, but Jesus saw that they weren't really allowing God to cleanse the sin from their hearts. In Matthew 23:25-26, we read, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." A while back, I cleaned the windows on our house. I did a good, thorough job using squeegee and scrubbers. When it was finished, I stood back and admired my sparkling, clean windows. But not long afterwards, I was inside the house looking out, and suddenly I realized how many spots there still were on the inside. Cleaning the outside alone was not enough. That's the way it is with spiritual cleanliness. It isn't enough to keep our bodies and our environment clean. Even going through a ritual spiritual cleansing, being baptized, is not enough unless it reflects an inner reality. God is concerned about getting the squeegee on the inside. He wants us clean and new from the inside out. So, does baptism matter once we're clean inside? It certainly does. Almost every time the message of salvation is preached in the New Testament, it is coupled with the command to be baptized. How are we saved? People ask the apostles. Over and over they replied, "Repent and be baptized," Acts 2:38. It reminds me of the story of the Syrian general, Naaman, that's told in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman suffered from the dread disease of leprosy. An Israelite girl who was a slave in his household told him about the prophet Elisha, who could heal diseases by the power of the God of Israel. Naaman went to see the prophet, who told him to bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman was not too impressed with this counsel. The Jordan River was muddy, nothing like the beautiful rivers in his homeland. At first he argued with himself that if the prophet had the power to heal, why had he not just spoken a few words? After all, what mattered was God's healing power, not the empty ritual of bathing in a river. Yet Naaman chose to trust God and obey him. He went through with the ritual. He obeyed God's command, and sure enough, he was healed of his leprosy. If Naaman had gone out on his own and bathed in one of those beautiful Syrian rivers, it wouldn't have done him a bit of good, for the mere fact of getting wet in a river would not have cleansed him of his leprosy. God alone had the power to accomplish that, but God did require that Naaman obey his command and bathe in the actual Jordan River. And when he did, he was cleansed from his disease. Baptism works the same way. God's real desire is that we have clean hearts, and washing our skin with water will not accomplish that. God wants to erase the sins of our past, to transform the pain of our lives, to make us over anew. At the same time, however, God does ask us to perform the outward act that symbolizes the transformed heart. He asks that, as a sign of our repentance and our commitment to a new start, we step into the waters of baptism to show the world that He has cleansed us. Does it matter to God how we are baptized? Yes, it does. Just as there was only one river in which Naaman could bathe if he wanted to demonstrate his obedience and trust, so there is one method of baptism that is used throughout the Bible, and it's the only method ever described in God's Word. The Greek word, baptizo, from which we get our word baptism, means to dip, to immerse, to plunge something under water. Early Christians referred to baptism as being buried and rising again with Christ, Colossians 2, verse 12. Only one kind of baptism can symbolize burial and resurrection. Only one kind of baptism can symbolize being plunged into the washtub and emerging completely clean. That is biblical baptism by immersion. God's Word tells us that baptism matters. It matters that we do it, and it matters how we do it. If we are to respond to God with trust and obedience, we will take His teaching on baptism seriously. But we will also remember that repentance and baptism mark a beginning, not an end. As we grow in Christ, He continues to change us. If you really want to know how to clean almost anything, allow the power of God into your life. His Holy Spirit really can cleanse you of any sin. There is no almost about it. God's cleansing power works not only on our hearts, but on our minds. I don't know about you, but there are things in my life that I would rather forget. Memories, experiences, things I've seen. When God cleanses us, He makes all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The story is told of a minister in England who was walking down the street with a friend who was president of a large soap manufacturing company. As the men walked, they passed a bar with the sounds of people carousing inside. Drunkards were reeling out into the street. The businessman said to the minister, "It doesn't look like your gospel is working very effectively to change people's lives." Pointing to a very dirty street urchin standing nearby, the minister said, "It doesn't seem your soap is working very well either." The soap manufacturer replied, "Of course, my soap works, but you have to apply it." "Exactly," the minister replied. "The gospel works too, but you must apply it." The gospel, the good news, is that forgiveness and renewal through Jesus can change us, can make us clean. When we accept that gift and step into the water of baptism to show that we accept it, then the most powerful cleanser in the universe begins to work in our lives. Here's a sidebar. Since baptism only washes the outside of our bodies, how can we get clean on the inside? How can we get rid of the sin that is in our minds and hearts? The Bible gives us specific instructions for doing that. Number one, repent. On the day of Pentecost, the people who heard Peter preach asked how they could be saved, and Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized," Acts 2:38. So ask God to convict you of the wrong things in your life and ask Him to help you repent of them. Number two, confess. The Apostle John wrote, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. When you know you have done something wrong, you should make it right with God and also with any person you may have harmed. Number three, accept God's forgiveness. When God has forgiven you, He looks at you as though you were already perfect. And number four, seek God's transformation. Ask God's Holy Spirit to come into your mind and change your desires. When you have God's forgiveness and His Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you are clean on the inside.